the big guys. Then you've got your personal favorites, your hometown heroes, and we've got these guys. Connor, Mackie, and Bernie are the rookies. Three sports fans left unsupervised in the studios of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, bringing you a whole, literally new sports talk show. The Rookies starts now.
Good morning and welcome to The Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. I am your host for today's show, Mackie G. To my right, Connor Sherman, and to his left, my man, Bernie Bowles. We have an exciting show planned for you today. We're going to recap the Hornets-Warriors game. If I'm going off what Bernie said yesterday, that was the Hornets' second win in 11 games over the Golden State Warriors. That's not right. 11 years.
That was their second win in 11 years.
Yeah, that's a crazy stat if that was true. And then also we had a very exciting day in college football yesterday.
Not so much for me. NC State got absolutely destroyed. They didn't even get off the bus. What a terrible day for NC State. But
Wake Forest,
not so terrible
destroy y'all.
For the best team in Texas, North Texas. Like I've said before, they're the best team in Texas. Prove me wrong. Their quarterback threw 7 touchdowns yesterday, and then he showed up to post-game press conference in one of those T-Rex suits.
I did like that.
That was amazing. You got to keep that energy going the whole way through the season, North Texas. I know they lost to UNC Charlotte, so shouts out to the 49ers.
The 49ers are the best team in North Carolina.
And they beat the best team in Texas, so they might be the best team in the nation.
It's got to be top five here. It's got to get close.
It could happen. I mean, the 49ers are 4-5 now.
For those of you,
those five losses were all flukes.
For those of you who don't know, this is all sarcasm, I hope.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
The Charlotte 49ers have a 2-win streak now after Chris Reynolds went 14 for 21 with 192 yards and a pass TD.
All right. Well, Connor, since we're going to talk about the best, I guess I'm putting in quotes, best college football team in the state, let's talk about the best hockey team in the state. Carolina Hurricanes played yesterday. Our very own Connor Sherman was up there covering it for Fox Sports Charlotte. And yesterday we had Jason Shia, the play-by-play broadcaster for the Calder Cup champions, the Charlotte Checkers. He came on. He said it's hard as a broadcaster to call a game when you're sometimes 5 stories up in the arena. When I looked on your Snapchat story, Connor, it looked like you were 5 stories up at PNC Arena.
I got off at floor number 5.
He got off at floor number 5.
And you know what? It's hard because, and he's absolutely right. I was sitting there up there and a player had left the bench on the Devils, and you could tell that they were a man down. There were 11 guys on the bench instead of 12, and you can't figure out who it is because you can't see their numbers when they're sitting on the bench. And luckily enough, a lot of these broadcasters have the TVs up there, so they can look at the TVs when they zoom in at the bench, and then that way they can figure out what the number is. We timed that one perfect, boys. moving forward, though, talking about the game last night, the Devils actually looked really good. It wasn't that the Hurricanes looked bad. They didn't really get much help out of James Reimer, but the Devils had goals from the number one overall pick in 2017, Nico Hischier, and that was, oh my Lord, that was a wheel and snipe, boys.
And I'm going to bring this up on air. I don't know if you wanted it to happen or not, but apparently the Hurricanes liked a tweet from you and then unliked it immediately after. Well, but what happened there?
Somebody had tweeted Fox Sports Radio Charlotte and asked us if we were broadcasting the Hurricanes games. And I said specifically, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I said to throw the word in there. I'm pretty sure someday, here on soon, we'll get something worked out.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah.
And
still a very new station, if you're listening. Still very new. This place just launched back in April.
The station is technically a rookie, so.
I am very hockey neutral on my personal account, and I was very for the Hurricanes on the Fox Sports account.
Yeah.
And I tweeted them back from my personal account, and then I retweeted something about Nico and just said how dirty that goal was, and then they unliked it 2 minutes later. So
I'm sure that's why.
Carolina's salty over there in Raleigh, but they're 9-4-1 now. They were physical last night. They were aggressive last night, and they were really, really quick last night. They just really couldn't. They couldn't score on the power play. You know, their special teams wasn't great last night. But that being said, that rounds out their 4-game homestand. They get 6 out of 8 possible points. You know, you have Svechnikov, who played really well, he's up there, like Shia said last night, with Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, and Steve Yzerman for most multi-point games through a team's first through a team's first 13 contests of a year.
That's
crazy. You know what? He had two more points last night. He had a goal and an assist last night. So, hats off to Svechnikov. I mean, that kid will never stop growing. Same thing, Martin Natchez. I know we did talk about him yesterday. They kind of shortened the bench and took him out. He very good offensively. He needs to work on his defensibility. So he can't get back, and he's not a very good two-way player. But once he learns how to play both ends of the puck, I think he'll be an elite player in the league.
And it was cool that Fox Sports Radio Chart was helping you get up to that game. One thing I've noticed, too, as time goes on, is how many hockey fans are in the state. Like, Carolina Hurricanes and the sport of hockey is definitely growing here in North Carolina. Last night, I was able to go to a sport where I've been actually growing into and enjoying watching, and that's volleyball. I didn't really get into volleyball that much until college, where I went to some
app-state
volleyball games, whether it's men's or women's specifically. I think it's great because I've never seen so many athletic women in one gym. I went to the fourth round of the high school. What are y'all laughing at? What are y'all laughing
just
at?
The way you said that.
I know. I say weird things sometimes. But I went to the fourth round of the 3A state playoffs yesterday at my old high school, and these girls jumped up above the net. Like, their heads were about a foot above the net when they went down for a kill. West Rowan, my old high school, beat Watauga in the fourth round. Now they are hosting the regionals, so I was able to go to there. I really enjoy watching volleyball. But we did have another game last night, and that was the Charlotte Hornets. They defeated the Golden State Warriors, and I know Bernie and I watched that while, Connor, you were at the Hurricanes game. Golden State is definitely not the same team they were last season. What gave it away? I think
the starting lineup.
Not having the Steph Curry, Draymond Green having a finger issue, KD no longer being there, Klay Thompson, you know.
D'Angelo Russell was out last night as well.
He was out last night?
Yeah, he was.
Well, that's just Kai Bowman starting his place.
He's got a soft spot in my heart.
Why is that?
Because he's a Brooklyn Net.
I'm a huge fan of the Charlotte Hornets. So is Bernie. We watched the game yesterday, and it looked like the Hornets struggled early with just turnovers, not making free throws, just giving up points in transition. But as the game went on, Bernie, what did you see from the Charlotte Hornets that made you happy? Because they are coming home from this West Coast road trip, which is the second earliest road trip the Hornets have ever taken in franchise history this far out to the West Coast. And they are coming back from it 2-2, and they are 3-3 on the season right now.
I tell you, that was probably best case scenario for me. And if you would have told me before the game that the Hornets would win shooting 42% from the field and 17% from three, under 70% from the free throw line, I'd have told you you're crazy. There's no way we're beating Golden State. I don't care who they got out there. Those numbers are terrible. But we won by five.
And they were led in points by Dwayne Bacon.
Won by six. Yeah. Dwayne Bacon played great last night. Really, really well. So what I really liked, though, Mackie, is that we finally out-rebounded a team. We looked decent on the boards, although Golden State for a while was getting so many offensive boards and second chance points, it was sickening right before halftime. But then the other thing that I really love was the lack of turnovers. We won in the turnover battle. We only turned it over 12 times to Golden State's 18, and that's huge, especially for a young team. You have no margin for error when you lack the sort of talent that the Hornets have. Not saying that they won't grow that talent, but at the same time, you can't rely on a team that's shooting 17% from three.
And one thing that I'm noticing that I'm really enjoying is the point output from the young guys. That was one of my worries going into the season was, how can the Hornets replace the production by Kemba Walker and by Jeremy Lamb? So far, it looks like they're doing that. Terry Rozier is starting to increase in his value. He has 16 points a game. And then the rookie, P.J. Washington, who I think is shutting up a lot of Hornets fans, who Hornets fans weren't saying he was a horrible pick. We just didn't think that was the right pick for the team. I'm glad that I'm not on the front or the board for the drafting or whatever, because P.J. Washington is turning out to be a great pick, especially for the Charlotte Hornets. And then you have Devontae Graham with 14. Cody Zeller with 14. Dwayne Bacon's averaging 13 points a game. And then Miles Bridges is averaging 12.5 points per game. So you have six players that are averaging double digits in terms of points per game.
Last night, Graham had 8 rebounds, too. And he's a tiny feller.
No, and that's one thing.
And
that
some big rebounds towards the end of the game.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying it's impressive for him to come out like that. He's not a big dude.
No, and that's one thing I'm realizing or seeing with this Hornets team is how well the guards are at, or how good the guards are at rebounding. I saw Terry Rozier, that's one of his strengths, is rebounding at the guard position. I saw him go up over the 3 or 4 man for Golden State and get a couple aggressive rebounds. And with a team that plays like the Hornets, who don't have stars like the Hornets, who pretty much probably need to get everything on their side throughout the game, every single rebound counts. And it's nice knowing that some of the smaller guys on the floor for Charlotte will go in the paint and fight for those rebounds to give you an extra possession or an extra shot.
Well, speaking of rebounds, Mackie, we have got to get somebody behind Cody Zeller. And I say this all the time. I'm so tired. Cody Zeller has been playing really well this season. Mm-hmm. But when we take him off the court, we lose that big man that can rebound for us, that goes in there. Bismack has been awful. And let me just say that right now. I'd love to see what Willie Hernangómez can do. But I think we need to trade for somebody to give us something. I heard we could get Andre Drummond last year was something we were looking into. That would have been a dream. You have Andre Drummond starting and then Cody coming off the bench. That would be
and
great.
And at that point, you would have Kemba at the point guard.
I think you'd still have him here.
I also would like to talk about the Warriors real quick. I'm looking at their lineup. I've never heard of anybody on this team.
Kai Bowman was actually a really great college player at Boston College. The kid can put up points like crazy.
They were led in points by Eric Paschal.
Pascal.
Pascal. I mean, I see that the kid played in Villanova, but I've never heard of him before.
No, that's, I mean, Golden State's having a bit of a rough time right now, especially they're battling a lot of injuries, and I don't think they will be what they were. I picked them maybe making it to the 7th or 8th seed.
I don't even know if they'll make it that far.
Well, I mean, it depends on the return of Draymond and Steph. But
the West is so stacked.
Though. But I don't even think Golden State will be fighting for those first four.
I just want to give a shout out to Cody Martin, who came in late in the game and had some really big defensive plays. Some rebounds, and then he forced a turnover on L.A.'s inbound that got us the ball. Basically, it killed L.A.'s shot. I don't know why I'm saying L.A. Golden State's shot of tying the game. So, shouts out to Cody Martin. Only played 4 minutes, but they were big minutes.
And we saw that in the Timberwolves game, the second game of the season. Head coach Borrego put the Martin twins in. And offensively, they look kind of lost out there. It kind of looks like the way Terry Rozier did his first game out on the court for the Hornets. But defensively, they hustle. And that's one thing with this Hornets team is hustling. And that's why I think to where if you're just an average NBA fan and you're looking at the Charlotte Hornets, Cody Zeller may not seem like that important of a player. He may not seem like a prominent big man in the NBA. But when you're a Hornets fan or if you're in this market and you watch what he does in the community and you watch what he does on the court, you don't see many 7-footers go after as many 50-50 balls as Cody Zeller does. You don't see the impact Cody Zeller has with the point guards through the national media. Last year he was one of the leaders in the NBA in terms of screen assists with his point guards. I mean, he sets his team up terrifically, and when he's not on the court, you know that minus for the Hornets is just so high.
Yeah.
Like there's no plus minus with Cody Zeller off.
You could even tell he didn't play game 2. He played in game 1. And there was a huge difference. I'm stressing there is a huge difference between game 1 against Chicago and game 2 against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
With and without Zeller on the court. I mean, it was horribly noticeable.
Yeah, and
that's the only way I can personally put
it. We still allowed Chicago to score 125 points, so our defense in the paint was awful, but you can notice definitely because they just absolutely thrashed us.
Individually, you notice Zeller's absence in the paint. Like, because you had Karl Anthony Towns just tearing up the Hornets down low. And
35 points, I think you finished with?
39, believe.
Oh, my gosh.
But Biombo, he's a big guy, but he's not physical enough.
For as athletic as he is, it's just so disappointing.
And just, you know, we talk about it all the time, the contracts just make it even harder to watch the stuff. And then Willie Hernangómez, he shows us glimpses every now and then. He played pretty well last season when his number was called upon. But if Cody Zeller goes down, knock on wood, and he's been having some troubles with injuries in the past few seasons. If he goes down, the Hornets need to do something. But the Hornets have already came out and said that they're not going to improve this team based on trades. They're going to do it through draft picks. Or not through trades, through free agency.
Yeah, through savvy trades.
I got it backwards.
All right. We'll see. but I think they should be proactive about
but,
this.
But they, the big man position,
because Jordan
is definitely,
don't want to spend the money.
Big the exactly the big man is definitely what the Hornets need. At first, it was a guy to help out Kemba. Right now, you know, we have Dwayne Bacon, Devontae Graham, P.J. Washington, Miles Bridges, and Terry Rozier is starting to find his footing with the Hornets. I think the small ball is good for the Hornets right now. But we need someone to back up Cody Zeller. I believe in you, or I believe in that. I agree with you on that, Bernie. Cody Zeller cannot be the one big man that the Hornets have. Because right now, the more I'm watching the Hornets, it looks like this team could actually surprise a lot of people.
They could sneak in there. I mean,
they could sneak. I'm not saying
if we could do this in a rebuilding year, why wouldn't you? Like, why would Jordan not want to improve this team throughout the year if he sees progress and is like, wow, I mean, we could sneak into the playoffs.
Maybe he'll see something to where it's like we're actually closer than we thought.
Yeah, and I would love that. I would be so happy with that. Because I only picked the Hornets to win 25 games.
Yeah, because the difference this year with the Hornets opposed to last year is you just
already
don't
got three.
You just yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just don't have a polarizing figure. You just don't have a polarizing player. They're all just a bunch of young guys on the team. I said it yesterday. I saw a tweet to where someone said the Hornets are the best college basketball team in the NBA. Which I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that one. If Malik Monk can also just find his consistency and do what he's supposed to do, this is his third year, correct?
We're golden. Yeah.
If Malik Monk can just be consistent, this team is different. It is different based on that one player.
Yeah. Well, we did get lucky last night on the boards, I feel like, because Willie Cauley-Stein only played 21 minutes because of foul trouble. So that helped us out on the rebounding end. But we've got to get that fixed because we play the Pacers next, and they have length. They have Domantas Sabonis. They've got Miles Turner. And they're not bad players. They're actually really good. So
we have a tough four-game schedule coming on. We do. Pacers, as you said, Bernie.
We'll be at the Pacers game. Connor and I and Brandon will be there as well.
And then Thursday,
are you not coming?
No, I'm actually bored up in the Duke game that night.
Oh.
But I need some hours. I need some money. So we got the Pacers Tuesday. I'm trying to go to the Boston game on Thursday. I think that's the one me and you discussed, Connor. Thursday, Kemba comes back.
That's what we just asked you. Are you going on Thursday?
Oh yeah, I thought you said Tuesday.
Yeah, so we're all four going.
No, I'm not going Tuesday. Brandon. I'm going Thursday. I'm not going Tuesday.
Oh, okay, I had y'all mixed up. Okay, perfect. Well, yeah, we're going to the Boston game, and it's going to be the return of Kemba. So a lot of people are looking forward to that. Then after that, when the third game,
I rescheduled the date.
You rescheduled
to go with you guys on Thursday night.
That's how important this game is. Then we got New Orleans, who. New Orleans, you know, they're without Zion, but they still have a good squad. They have a good squad of players who could be considered the best college basketball team in the
NBA. Drew Holiday, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. That's, you got a lot of good players.
You got that huge trade package with AD to LA and vice versa. And then you have at Philadelphia on Sunday. So this week you have two teams who you're going to be fighting for a playoff spot, or three teams, excuse me, and then one team that's out west that you definitely want to win at home, especially when they don't have Zion Williamson. So going into these next four games against Indiana, Boston, New Orleans, and Philadelphia, how do you think the Hornets fare? Do you think they could have the same success as they did on the West Coast road trip?
If we can finish 2-2, I would be really pleased with that because these are four really good teams, four potential playoff teams, I think. Pelicans could sneak into the West. They are the 1-5 right now, struggling a little bit, but like I said, they've got a lot of young pieces. I think 2-2 is probably our best bet coming out of here.
I agree with that. I think the Hornets should just strive to be 500. I think that's going to be a successful season. We saw at the media day a couple weeks ago, Bernie, that, I mean, the Hornets are well aware of the stereotypes, but, you know, the limits that have been set on them, what people are saying, including us, including myself. But right now,
got to break that glass ceiling.
Right now, it looks like that they're doing great against the adversity.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing really well, and I'm really pleased. And like you said earlier, Mackie, I think P.J. Washington has almost been like a catalyst. Him and Devontae Graham have played so well throughout the first six games, and Terry Rozier is starting to come around. He missed a couple big free throws late. I'd like to see them practice free throws at practice because that could have come back to bite them in the butt.
Yeah, they did struggle with free throws last night. PJ is playing over 33 minutes a game, which I think is great for a rookie.
I love how they said he's going to play in Greensboro. Yes. He's playing too well for them to send him down there.
That's still so funny.
He's playing too well.
Because you know what? We were all at the first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first game of the season? Were you at the first game of the season?
I wasn't there.
You went to the second game.
I went to the Timberwolves game.
After the first game of the season, in the locker room, somebody had mentioned it to PJ, and PJ just laughed. He was like, yeah, about going back to Greensboro.
Yeah, you figure going back to Greensboro? Someone else I said I think he's going back tonight. Something like that.
That was Coach.
Yeah.
That was Coach.
He's going back tonight.
He better not go back, especially when he's our second leading scorer. PJ, he had a good stat line yesterday. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I think the size also is what – see, I didn't like the pick because I thought he would be playing alongside or behind Marvin and MKG and Nick Batum just because another stretch forward, another 6A guy
Nick
on the
Batum.
Hornets. But, yeah, Nick Batum's been battling that hand injury. He's out for, I think, 1 or 2 more weeks so far.
Okay with that. Keep him out.
I was going to say, that might be a little bit better for the Charlotte Hornets than you actually think.
That is true.
And MKG, he is nowhere to be found. We had an interview with Rod Boone, me and QCB, on Wednesday, and he said that he's somewhat in the doghouse. And I don't know how true that is, but I haven't seen him at all. Bacon and Bridges are primarily our perimeter defenders right now. They take on the best players. So I'm okay. I think there's plenty of teams out there that could use someone like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, just a really good perimeter defender, needs help on the offensive end. He's just not got the jump shot yet and still really young. I think he's 25 years old. So somebody could trade for him, but not playing at all. And that's kind of weird.
No, I have not seen MKG on the court much, but hey, head coach James Borrego did say that it doesn't matter what the contract you have or how long you've been on the team, you're going to earn your playing spot. And so far, the younger guys have outworked the older guys, and they're getting more minutes on the court. This is the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Don't go anywhere. We have Carolina Panthers, NFL, and Fantasy Talk coming up right after this.
Go get them, boys. The Rookies are back on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
You know what that sound means, guys. It's Panther game day here in Charlotte. Mackie does the Panther sound better than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
Damn right.
I challenge someone else to show me a Panther growl better than Mackie's. I challenge you. You guys can even call in, and the number here is 704-227-8800. Give me your Panther growl.
If this is the first time we have callers on the show and it's to do the Panther growl, Connor's going to reach over here, and he's going to destroy both of us.
Fantastic. I will slap both of you right in the face.
Fantastic. So Panthers play the Titans today.
Panthers do. They had a hard-fought close game last week. They only lost 51-13. The San Francisco 49ers just outplayed the Carolina Panthers.
Flat out.
And I think what makes it worse is that they came off a bye week. What were you doing? At least get beat by, like, 3 touchdowns max. You know, get beat 51-28 or something.
I think the pregame speech, the pregame speech by Gerald McCoy added insult to injury. Did you see the pregame speech by
Gerald McCoy? Yeah.
We want all the smoke.
We got
all the smoke.
Gave us the smoke.
We dive for respiratory.
All right, boys. So literally speaking, this is the first time Kyle Allen has ever lost a professional football game in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Allen never lost a football game before. Now, we're coming in today, 1 o'clock, hosting the Tennessee Titans. What do you think changes in Kyle Allen's playbook? I mean, do you think he approaches this game any differently than he has the prior 5 games?
I would like to think that the Panthers themselves have learned that people are starting to key in on McCaffrey. You've got to spread the ball around. So what I like to see today, I think Kyle Allen's going to try to spread the ball around. I think we're going to see more passes. I think the Panthers are going to be more aggressive. Last week just showed. I mean, I feel like the play calling was just so questionable last week.
And it's sad because you know what? They really can. They have one of the best tight ends in the league is Greg Olsen. You know, Greg Olsen has always been there. They got DJ Moore. And then, you know, CMC can even go out there and catch it. And they picked up Cole Beasley, right?
No. They picked up Braxton Miller from
no, no,
put him
no,
on the practice
that's
squad.
Not who I'm talking about.
Chris Hogan?
Chris Hogan.
But he's injured,
right
now.
Is he?
So we got Curtis Samuel, and then we've got, I think, Jarius Wright might be hurt right now unless he's healthy.
I haven't seen the injury.
He has been struggling.
We have
DeAndre
White come up from the practice squad. I mean, it would have been great to see the Panthers at the trade deadline add somebody at the receiver position. I mean, we couldn't have been much.
They could have put Cam Newton on the IR, and then they would have had all that money to trade for somebody. And it's sad because Cam Newton's not playing another game this year. Cam Newton may never play another game in the Panthers uniform.
It's true. And after the reports today of him going to see a foot specialist, and they're not really sure of the timetable, I think I said this a month or two ago. It's just an unknown injury. Like, sometimes people heal really quickly from a Liz Frank. Sometimes it takes a long time.
Sometimes it takes a career.
Right. So, you know, I'd hate to see it. Cam is obviously a generational talent, and he'd be first ballot Hall of Famer. Could he continue to play? He set so many records for rushing quarterbacks. But I think, obviously, those will be broken here in the future with the amount of quarterbacks we have coming in the league that can run. It's just back to what you said, Connor. I want to see Kyle Allen spread the ball around. That's what I want to see today.
And one thing, I've been a fan of Kyle Allen. I like the Panthers winning with Kyle Allen. I haven't been a fan of people saying that this is now Kyle Allen's team and it's time for Cam Newton to go. Yet last week against the San Francisco 49ers, I keep on wanting to say San Francisco Giants, against the 49ers, that was the first game that Kyle Allen played to where the whole offensive line, the whole defense, and Christian McCaffrey could not save him. The offensive line played the way they did the first two games with Cam Newton. You had Darrell Williams at left tackle, and the pocket collapsed nonstop. The defense was getting outplayed and outmanned from the get-go, and Christian McCaffrey was shut down by the San Francisco 49ers. So Kyle Allen had to improvise. He had to face some adversity because I'm not trying to watch this guy fail, but I will admit that the Panthers as a team were playing much better behind Kyle Allen than they were with Cam Newton at the beginning of the season. Now, I don't know what kind of effect that means that Cam Newton has on the team, vice versa with Kyle Allen. I'm not trying to speculate with that. I'm just saying this is the first game to where the ball was in Kyle Allen's hands to where the only way the Panthers could succeed was if Kyle Allen made plays. And that may sound like I'm putting a lot on Kyle Allen, but as the quarterback in the NFL, as a fan, that's what I'm expecting. If your whole team isn't, can you make some kind of play? And I'm not expecting them to go out there and run for 50 yards and make these cross-field throws, but he just could not connect with his wide receivers, partially because the offensive line was giving him no time, because the defense wasn't giving them any time on the sideline. The defense was just letting the San Francisco 49ers run right through him. So this week, I'm looking for Kyle Allen to come out there with a vengeance, to be the main guy, be like, this is my game, this is my ball, the game is in my hands, I'm going to make plays today.
Listen, Mackie, it may not necessarily be Kyle Allen's team moving into the future next season, but absolutely right now it has to be, because you know what? Cam Newton isn't doing a damn thing for the Carolina Panthers, right? I think him being a distraction is only making everything worse for the team.
Do you think Cam Newton's still being a distraction?
I think Cam Newton is still being a distraction to the team.
How?
And
what does he do?
Everything going on with Cam. You think everybody in that locker room is not worried about Cam Newton?
Like, him being injured is the distraction? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You
can't help that.
You can't help that, but the training staff, you know, Cam's healthy, Cam's not healthy. You know, is Cam going to play this week? Is Cam not going to play this week? Cam dressed. Cam's traveling with the team. That's all a distraction.
Yeah.
That's all debatable.
That's just news.
And Cam is not going to win this team a Super Bowl moving forward.
Well, what I'm saying is,
and that's what they have to prepare for that.
Well, I'm saying with Kyle Allen, well, I agree with you on that. When you say it that way, yes, right now it is his team. He's a starting quarterback. But if it's your team, I want to see you out there making plays. I don't want to see you with these little checkdowns that people always complained about with Cam Newton. I don't want to see you not be able to come up with a play just because your offensive line isn't giving you any time. This is how I see the value in Cam Newton was. The value in Cam Newton is being exposed when you have a quarterback that's not that generational talent being put with a team like this. The Panthers are still a good team. This was a bad game a week ago. But what I'm saying is Kyle Allen had his first game to where he wasn't being carried by the offensive line, by the defense, by Christian McCaffrey. How will he bounce back today?
If he
has back-to-back bad games, especially when it was because he couldn't make plays, not because he was getting the ball to the receivers and they were dropping it. It was because stuff he was doing specifically himself. Then I'm going to start to get worried, because what are we going to do now at the quarterback position?
Do you think it's the fact that Kyle Allen isn't, I know Kyle Allen isn't what Cam Newton was a couple of years ago.
I understand, but
do you think that Rivera's holding Kyle Allen back at all a little bit?
I mean, I think play calling has been.
I don't think Kyle Allen's got full throttle. Mm. You know, I don't think he has the ability or the opportunity to, I think I should say, to go out and call all these plays. I mean, does he have the confidence? I don't know. But it also seems like Rivera is holding back on Kyle Allen a little bit. So when will we know?
I will say this. I think Coach Rivera, I have had my criticisms or critiques on Coach Rivera. I have liked him as a coach. I think now moving forward. I think his contract's up after this season. Don't quote me on that. But the Hornets should be preparing for another head coach, especially under new owner David Tepper. I appreciate everything Rivera's done for me.
Panthers.
But if what'd I say?
Hornets.
Oh, my fault. Excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. The Panthers. But if there's one thing I learned for All or Nothing, watching that behind the scenes with the Carolina Panthers last season, was Coach Rivera is a great figure for his players. He does a great job giving his players confidence. He does a great job expressing how much he believes in his players. He's very vocal. He's a very vocal and communicative head coach, which I really appreciate. So I don't think the confidence – I think Ron Rivera is giving Kyle Allen a lot of confidence. I think Kyle Allen can see that Ron Rivera is confident in him. If I think that he's being held back by play calling, I'm not really sure, but I can see that actually being an issue because we talk about it all the time, conservative play. I can see the Panthers' offense especially just falling back on Christian McCaffrey. And then when those plays don't work like it did in Tampa Bay and now like it did with San Francisco, boom, it's just done.
First off, somebody on Facebook Live asked Panthers trivia, who is the first person to ever score a Panthers touchdown? It was Frank Reich to Bob Christian for a touchdown against the Falcons in our first game in the regular season. So I actually had to do some research. I'm ashamed to know.
His name
ashamed
is,
to say I didn't know.
Connor, on Facebook, the guy who asked that question was David Sherman. Is he related to you?
That may or may not be my father.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hello, Connor's dad.
Hello there, guy.
Hi, Dad.
But yeah, back to what we were saying. I want to talk about the second biggest
problem.
We'll
always have one listener, boys.
We always have one listener.
The second biggest problem the Panthers had last week, and that was their run defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see change today because they have to go up against Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis. And if those aren't two of the most different backs in the NFL, I don't know what to tell you. Derrick Henry, I feel like, is going to have a big day. I'll tell you why later. But the Panthers need to improve. They're 27th. In run defense in the NFL. That dropped our defense, last week's performance, dropped them to middle of the pack in overall defense.
I didn't know they were 27th
yeah.
now.
So you
boys want to hear some stuff too? Yeah. You finish.
Well, I just expect the Titans to run the ball a lot today, especially with Ryan Tannehill under center, even if it was Marcus Mariota, let's be real. The quarterbacks in Tennessee are not really trusted to throw the ball. Ryan Tannehill had two touchdown drives last week that were 6 yards and 10 yards. Wow. Tearing it up.
I want to go ahead and thank NFL.com for this stat, actually. With Marcus Mariota, the Tennessee Titans have averaged 16.3 points per game, 250 total yards, 187 passing yards, and almost 30% on third down. With Ryan Tannehill, they're averaging 25 points per game, 325 total yards, 240 passing yards, and 46 for their third down percentage. Hey, that is a significant increase between the two quarterbacks.
I'm a fan of Ryan Tannehill. I've always been a fan. I thought he would be a great quarterback in the league. Then he was on the Dolphins, first off. I mean, he had Jarvis Landry for a few years. And then he had an injury. I can't remember. It was like an ACL injury, right? Do you know what I'm talking about, Bernie? At all?
Yeah.
The Ryan Tannehill. It was something with his leg, I'm pretty sure. But now I'm happy that he's bouncing back. I'm happy that he's getting a chance to play behind Mariota. But 27th? In run defense?
So here's
27. Okay, real quick, I don't want the Panthers to play Tevin Coleman, and I don't want the Panthers to play in Levi's Stadium ever again. Tevin Coleman ran all over us for three touchdowns last week.
I bet he loved that.
He was the first he was like the first rusher in four seasons to have a 100-yard rushing game.
I think
against
he had four touchdowns, didn't he?
So it was even worse. I was trying to relax.
I'm trying to blank it out.
But at one point 2 years ago, he had the first 100-yard rushing game against the Panthers at Panther Stadium in like three seasons.
It was wild, yeah.
And then now they're playing in Levi's Stadium again to where I think the Panthers are they just struggle. They lost Super Bowl 50 there. Then the Panthers go in and lose 51-13. I just don't want to go to – is it Santa Barbara? Is that where the stadium is? Levi's Stadium?
Yes, it is.
It's like San Francisco 49ers, but it's in Santa Barbara. I don't know. Tevin Coleman and Levi's Stadium, just don't play the Panthers
anymore.
Yeah,
it doesn't go
well. I don't want it.
Connor, you mentioned Tannehill's stats. I will say the last two teams that he played were the Chargers and the Bucks, who ranked near the end of the bottom of the league in pass defense. Not good teams. And whenever he did go in against the Broncos, they didn't score a point.
I also owe you an apology.
Why?
We were talking about the last name Henry before. You said Derrick Henry, didn't you?
It is Derrick Henry.
To play. I was thinking Hunter Henry, the tight end.
Oh, I like Hunter Henry too.
And I was on my way out the door to fill up my water, so I didn't really process that. And you said to play Derrick Henry. Definitely play Derrick Henry if you have him in fantasy, mm-hmm. because the Panthers have let up the most rush touchdowns this season in the NFL.
So. And why am I just hearing of all this?
I did want to apologize to you.
Yeah, and another stat, the Panthers actually do give up the second most explosive runs in the league this year.
And what's the definition of an explosive run?
I would say, I think it's 20-plus yards.
Oh, my God. All right, and real quick, also, if I go to this game and the Panthers lose...
Are you going?
We won't see Mackie. Dude, did you not just hear us talk about this before the show started?
Yeah, I'm going to the game.
I might have been in the bathroom.
No, you were here.
No, you were definitely in
Oh,
here.
Maybe I was doing something else.
But he we'll just doesn't him. Listen to us.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to the game today with some friends from school. And if I go, I'm not going, and the Panthers lose, I'm not going to another Panther game because that means I've gone to the Bills preseason game where the Panthers lost like 24-14.
Week one.
Then I went to week one against the Rams. They lost. I went to week two Thursday night against the Bucks. And then now I'm going to, what is this, week like nine? I think it's week nine.
Yeah.
Week nine against the Tennessee Titans. And I plan on going to the Redskins game and the Seattle game as of right
well,
now.
Well, at least we know we can. Well, I don't know.
Oh, we might lose to the Seattle
Mackie,
game.
If you are a bad luck charm, you can't go to any games.
That's what I'm saying. We will see after today.
You can stand outside the stadium and watch.
Bernie, are we even friends anymore? I think this is the Bernie Show featuring Connor and Mackie.
The Bernie Show featuring Connor.
Oh, because I don't
listen. Because you don't listen to us.
Well, I was prepping before the show, and I'm sure that's where you guys were just chit-chatting, and I wasn't paying attention.
Are you alluding that we don't work and we don't prep for the show?
No, I didn't spend enough time prepping, so I did a little more this morning.
So going back to the Panthers and Titans on this segment, after the segment, we're going to be talking about the fantasy football, the best plays this week, and also a couple matchups around the NFL. But going into this game, what do the Panthers need to do? We talked about defense. We talked about how they are letting up an insane amount of rushing touchdowns this season, the most explosive runs, 27th in run defense. You know, we can come in and say, well, the defense needs to tackle more. But what specifically, what are players that need to make an impact? What do the Panthers' defense need to do to beat the Tennessee Titans today?
Let's call out the whole offensive line. Kyle Allen was horrible last week when he was under pressure. So they need to give Kyle Allen time. The Tennessee Titans defense are also one of three teams to allow 25 or less fewer points in each of their games this season. So the Carolina Panthers are going to have to rely on their offensive line to get holes open for Christian McCaffrey, and they're going to have to be able to allow Kyle Allen time to throw the ball and find his receivers. You know, that's all what it comes down to right now.
All right, so Connor, you're just talking all that junk to Bernie about not listening, right?
He said defense, not offense.
I was like, what do the Panthers' defense need to do to beat the Tennessee Titans? You're like, first off, I'm going to start with the offensive line.
Rookie mistake.
That is my rookie mistake. That's a good breakdown.
Is.
That's what the offensive line needs to do.
So we can just flip-flop it. Offense.
This is the Connor Show featuring Bernie and Mac.
Connor.
He just said, first off. The offensive line.
I'm just changing the subject here. You know what I mean?
I looked at Bernie, and Bernie's like, you said defense, right?
I'm like, yeah. I didn't hear offense.
So the first, I agree with you, Connor. The offense has to do a good
job. So now we're talking about the offense.
I think we're just going to do offense.
We're not talking about the defense anymore,
Mackie. Let's just do offense.
This is our
we'll
show.
Do defense next. So offensively, we have to protect Kyle Allen, like you said. And I think we have to run the ball effectively. We haven't been able to do that the past few weeks. People are, like I said earlier, keying in on Christian McCaffrey. Going to stack eight in the box. They're going to make us throw the ball. So I think early in the game, we have to throw the ball. We have to move the ball down the field, matriculate the ball down the field. You like that word?
That was a big word for
it's
you there,
Bernie. Matriculate. People use it. Smart people use it.
Then you shouldn't be using it.
I'm not smart. But I think it's so important for us to score a touchdown on our first drive. And I feel like I never see the Panthers do that. Mackie's got his Panther socks on. I've got my Panthers hat on. Clearly, the Panthers are in for a great day today, I think, against the Titans, if they can stop the run.
Offensively, since I just joined the train, we'll talk about defense in a minute.
Yep.
Offensively, you need to get Kyle Allen confident. You need to get him throws early. And I'm not talking about throws to Christian McCaffrey. I'm talking about throws downfield, not 15, 20 yards downfield, but try to open up those medium routes right around first down, 7-8 yard passes. Also, Curtis Samuel has been getting open downfield.
Yeah.
But Kyle Allen just can't connect. There have been a couple times to where the offensive line will crumble and Kyle Allen doesn't have time and he has to dish it out. But also, there have been a few plays to where you'll see the replay during the broadcast, and they'll point out to where Kyle Allen should have hit Curtis Samuel on his route, or DJ Moore on the other hand.
Kyle was rattled last week.
And that's why this was the first game to where Kyle just went out, and he was just getting trucked through the get-go. He was just down on the ground. He was behind defense. I mean, he just could not get anything going. So I think that's how the whole team was. You know, the offense came out and just ran all over the Panthers defense. And once the Panthers went down, I believe it was 21-0, I didn't really have hope just because I know how the Panthers play, especially with how early they scored 21 points. But when we come back from this break, we will talk about some defensive strategies that the Panthers need to do. And then we're going to go around the NFL with some matchups to watch. And then we will do our best fantasy picks for the week. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Now back to the Rookies, who are still here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Welcome back to the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Catch us weekend mornings from 10 to 11 on 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, and 103.7 HD3. Like we said before, what is HD 1 and 2? Who knows? You can catch article, blog post, podcast. This weekend's shows will be in podcast forms on FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com under the Rookies tab. Same thing on the mobile app, on the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte mobile app, available for both iPhone and
the Red Skittles are honestly
Android.
The best
Thank
Skittles
you.
In the pack.
Okay, so I guess the Rookies podcast is on the Red
Starring
Skittles.
Starring Connor and his cohorts, Mackie and Bernie, and the Skittles.
We have gone on a horrible streak of not listening. He said the Red Skittles are the best.
What do you
in the
expect
pack.
From some mans? That's what we do. We don't listen.
Men don't listen. I'm sure your girlfriend would like that, too.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the Panthers, what they need to do to beat Tennessee. All right, now let's talk defense real quick before moving on to fantasy picks. Defensively, what do the Panthers need to do different than last week? That's not just letting the team not run through them.
Get to the quarterback.
Absolutely.
That's one thing I felt like the last week the defensive line lacked opposed to throughout the regular season was just getting to the quarterback. It looked like the Panthers just could not get to Jimmy G. There were a couple times that they almost did, but when they were inches away, that was like when Jimmy G threw for like 20 yards or a touchdown. It was always big plays where the Panthers almost got them.
Panthers rush defense needs to be a lot better too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just overall, the whole defense needs to improve from last week.
I just want to see more from the linebackers. Luke Kuechly had some big plays, but Bruce Irvin, Brian Burns, they were quiet. Shaq Thompson as well. I just want to see those names. And I'm not getting worried yet. It's one game. It was just a very bad game. But normally, did you just crack your neck?
I did.
Was that what that sound was?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
What the heck? You need to go to a doctor.
I do.
But when I was watching the Panther game, they normally have this one bad game. They had it last year against Philadelphia right around this time of year, and they had it this year. Both times giving up 50 points. You know, after the Pittsburgh game is when Ron Rivera took over the play calling for the defense, and then now Ron Rivera calling the defense.
So you'd like to see it be better.
And this man gives up 51 points in the NFL. We are the Miami Dolphins last week.
So, Mackie, to your point about the rush defense, the thing they need to do better, it's hard to sack the quarterback when they're running the ball so well.
Yeah.
Like, you have to almost play back. Like, you're not nearly as aggressive. You can't pin your ears back and go after it. And also, 49ers had a huge lead. And like I think I said it a couple weeks ago, it's so easy for a defense to play aggressively when you have a big lead.
Mm-hmm.
So the 49ers were just able to get after it. Just get after it.
Because you can afford to give up a couple big plays.
Absolutely, but not like the Panthers were going to do that last week. We just looked rattled. But I think our run defense, pass defense, everything kind of coincides with we've got to get to the quarterback. But it's tough to do that when they're running the ball so well.
And luckily, the Panthers are not playing Kyle Shanahan's offense again because I know you talked about it, Bernie. I think out of the three of us, you were the one who did the most research on Kyle Shanahan's offense and know more about him and how he coaches as a coach or as a head coach with his offense. But I saw so many moving parts.
It looked like we had never seen a misdirection play in our whole life.
They had that one, what was it, like a reverse jet sweep?
Like Gap on Thursday night.
Bro, chill.
Misdirection. Literally, I felt like 90% of the plays the 49ers ran were just misdirections. And we ran to run one side of the field, and they just throw it to the other. And they'd run for 40 yards or a touchdown. It was crazy to watch. But, yeah, like you said, I love watching Kyle Shanahan's offense because you don't know where it's going to go. It could literally go anywhere, and it's going to be for positive yards. He was great at it when he was in Atlanta, and it just took a couple years in San Fran. But you saw flashes the first 2 years. This year, I genuinely think the 49ers can go to the Super Bowl. They have that kind of team. I really do. If Emmanuel Sanders adds to them like he has been the past 2 weeks— And I came out and said I didn't think Emmanuel would make an immediate impact.
What? So yeah, he did.
What did I tell you?
And he made an immediate impact.
The first score of the game was by Emmanuel Sanders.
You guys don't like me.
If he gels and they start getting this passing attack good with this running attack, watch out for the 49ers because they really have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
And real quick, a score update from London, about 75 seconds away from halftime. The Houston Texans have the ball, and they are leading the Jacksonville Jaguars 9-3. Right now, the Houston Texans are going down there on the 50-yard line. Now it's 40 seconds away from halftime. We were talking about the Carolina Panthers right here on the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Kyle Shanahan's offense completely tore up the Carolina Panthers defense, and that's one thing that we're not trying to do again this week.
Yeah, guys, and we just had a special guest walk in the studio, Mr. Les Bless on Power 98.
Oh, man.
You guys can listen to Les anytime you want to on Power 98. What time are you on, Les?
Overnight, 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'll be there. But right now, we're talking about the Carolina Panthers.
We're talking about the Carolina Panthers.
I want y'all to understand something. With the update on Cam's injury and everybody saying he's going to be out for an extended period of time, what we need to understand is now that you know that your quarterback, he's no longer a backup, even though it's backup season. This season has been backup season.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's no longer technically considered a backup, you got to be patient. Patience is the only key. It's only so many options. There's only so many weapons, so you know he's a bit limited. So everything he's doing, he's taking chicken-ish and turning it into chicken salad. You know what I'm saying? So understand, you can only do so much with CMC. You can only do so much with your passing game. You're limited, and then he's going to be limited because there's only so many plays you can throw at him in the playbook.
Yeah. And right now, that's one thing we're trying to – we asked this real quick. Les Bless, right?
Yeah,
Mackie, nice to meet
you. Have you never met Les?
No, we've met a few times. He's just – all black people look alike. It's all right, man.
Nice,
Mackie. What were we asking?
I'm going to hell.
No, what were we asking?
I was going to ask.
I think Connor said, is Ron Rivera holding back Kyle Allen?
He has to. Think about it like this. Most people complain about having stud quarterbacks and you sit them. The Danny Dimes situation in New York is very rare. Patrick Mahomes is very special, but he had to sit a year. So your favorite quarterbacks, even Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a 2-year sitter.
Aaron Rodgers
is a 4-year sitter. Like the guys that you think are special, like when they say he's the best thrower of the football of all time, that guy played understudy or intern for a couple of years just to get it figured out. So you got to understand, in the most difficult position in professional sports, there's nothing you could be a major league pitcher in the World Series and you just up there, it's you against the world hurling it. But when you got 11 guys coming your way and their major job is to knock you out, that's the most difficult position in sports. I played football. My whole lineage is built on killing quarterbacks. So I know Kyle Allen has to figure everything out. He has to figure everything out, and he's got to figure it out on the fly because he wasn't planning on playing this year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that. When you think about it, after week two, Kyle Allen was like, what did I get myself into? I was just studying. I was just in study hall. And now look at this.
And now they're making me play.
Right.
And I have one more question I want to ask you, because Connor also said, and I disagreed with him on this one, he said that Cam's injury and just Cam Newton in general is still a distraction to the Carolina Panthers.
Very much so.
Okay, so how is it?
Because you got to understand like this. If it was Michael Jordan's second year in the league, he broke his ankle. And I'm talking, you know, like Byrne is a big Michael Jordan guy. He's a Charlotte guy, so he's going to love Michael. His second year in the league, after coming in number two in the scoring race, his rookie season, his second year in the league, he broke his ankle. For the next, he missed 57 games that year.
Right.
And think about it, for the next 57 games, if it was basketball, they're going to ask you about Michael Jordan's ankle.
True.
In this situation, the best football player that the Carolina Panthers have ever had is Cam Newton. So regardless, every week when they say,
where's your boy at now?
Every week when they say, Cam, it might be another week. It might be another week. It might be another week. You got to understand, it's a distraction, and it's also a deterrent, because you can't build past that guy. You can't build past the building block. He's the foundation. He's it. You can't make an outstanding house without having a foundation, and he's the foundation of the franchise right now.
So real quick, before we end Panthers talk, what do you think the outcome of today will be?
The outcome of it's really a toss-up. I call it a pick'em, me personally, because you never know. Running backs can expose anything. Holes are created. I know you guys have watched San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. correct? You watch San Francisco 49ers, they're going to throw two wide receivers at you, a tight end, a fullback, and they're going to smack heads with you. but that exposes a certain lack of the ability to tackle. That exposes the ability to be able to game plan. You can't game plan for just regular football. Stop it. I'm just going to keep punching you in the mouth. One of my closest friends, Vernon, knows this, is Steve Wilks. He's the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns. He was our former defensive coordinator here. And he told me, he said, man, when we played San Francisco, he said, you know why you can't game plan for him? I said, why, coach? He said, because they just punch you in the mouth. Everybody got a game plan until they get punched in the mouth. Right. So CMC is just sitting there like, just give it to me. If I can hit all five holes in the first quarter, if I find one weak one, we can win. That's all I got to think. Every series, all I got to do is find one weak hole, and we can win the game.
This can be a toss-up. I think the Panthers can come out victorious, though. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're still in the playoff race. They just got blown out last week. They're playing with something to prove. I pick the Panthers 24-14. I think the defense is going to come out.
Burn?
Man, I think we were talking about last week. Trey Turner had one of the most momentum-killing holds on the Christian McCaffrey run for a touchdown. We were down 14-0. Mm-hmm. And Christian McCaffrey ran for like a 40-yard touchdown, got called back. And that changed the entire game. But today, I got the Panthers winning 24-21.
I think it's a close game. That's what I was going to say, Burn. That's what I was going to say. I do have 24-21.
And you got the Panthers?
Yeah, I do have the Panthers. All right.
I kind of got to ask a question.
Oh, here.
With the lack of discipline on this year's team, even though Cam is out, do you think Ron Rivera's on the hot seat?
Yeah, I think he's been on the hot seat.
Like, is everyone saying that now?
I think he's been on the hot seat just as much as Cam has been since, you know, everybody's saying Cam hasn't had a good season since 2015. He did make the playoffs in 2017. Right. Cam hasn't had back-to-back winning seasons in his career. You can say the same for Ron Rivera.
Right.
You can say, I said it earlier on the show.
The two are joined.
Yeah, I appreciate Ron Rivera. He's done a lot for the Carolina Panthers. But I think right now, you know, I think his play calling, especially on defense, and I think with some of the talent that the Panthers have, is no longer his style of game. He's much more just take it down chunk at a time. No really big plays. Like, when you see the Panthers play, especially before this season or before Christian McCaffrey, you didn't see many 50-yard plays. You didn't see many 50-yard throws or runs. You just see them just chip away at the line of scrimmage, just trying to get yard after yard. But I think Ron Rivera is on the hot seat this year.
Yeah, Ron's a defensive coach, too, and our defense is probably the weakest part of our team right now.
Especially when you're playing ahead.
Right. We've got David Tepper as an owner now. And I think Ron's not necessarily his guy. Neither is Marty.
And that's another reason he's on the hot seat. Because Tepper hasn't brought in any of his own people.
Right. And I think, you know, Ron as two-time coach of the year, it's hard to say that a two-time coach of the year is on the hot seat. But he is. He's firmly on the hot seat. And I think he's got to make the playoffs this year and at least win one game with the team that's constructed. I don't care if Kyle Allen's still the quarterback.
Yeah.
You've got to show that your coaching is above that. What does Sean Payton do with Teddy Bridgewater?
Five in a row.
I'm just saying, like Sean Payton, look at what Bill Belichick did with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett when they were brand. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo hadn't played.
Seven wins. Yeah. Between the two of them.
And Jacoby was a rookie.
You want players to adjust to Cam Newton being out. You want players to adjust to injuries. Coaches have to adjust to having a different depth chart.
So think about it like this, Mac. If I ask you a question, serious question, right now we're at a point where Cam Newton is, you know, come see. He's so. You're gonna see him. You might see him. You might not. And you know his salary cap number. You know Kyle Allen's salary cap number. If you're going to win a Super Bowl, you build around guys who don't take up that much salary cap because you can put the weapons around them. Mm-hmm. Do you cut bait now?
Do I cut bait?
Yeah.
We've only got $2 million in dead money next year.
That's what I said. I know. So Les has come in and has backed everything I said. Les, I love you so much.
I'm just saying Cam Newton has next year on his contract, correct?
Right.
Yeah, but only $2 million guaranteed next year. So if we cut him after this season, we only have $2 million in dead money, which is pretty big because he's making $20+ million this year.
See, right. I don't know. I just don't like the way Kyle, and Q calls him the Cam Newton Kool-Aid sippers or whatever. And it's like, I'm a Cam Newton fan. I'm also a fan of what Kyle Allen's doing for the Carolina Panthers. But it's just like, the thing that has bothered me is just how quick people just jumped off of Cam Newton. I want to see him play in Carolina again before he leaves. But that's me personally.
Okay, so check this out. Did you like Russell? Did you like Russell Wilson when he first came in the league?
Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Russell Wilson.
He only cost you $350,000. Think about the weapons. You had the whole Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
And you had outstanding wide receivers, and you were able to go get Percy Harvin.
Oh, yeah.
Because he only cost you $350,000. You got Cam Newton, and he's his most tradable right now. Any team salary cap, he's only going to hit you for $2 million dead money next year. That's us. So whatever we send is affordable. Because we still have to tote that note because of the signing bonus.
True.
We still have to take that money. So now you get more picks and you Do you think Kyle Allen is serviceable? Because you don't have to be a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl. You just got to be serviceable.
If we get our defense right.
See, I want to see, this is what this game is going to prove from Kyle Allen, because I said it, I think last week was the first time Kyle Allen played without, you know, the dominant offensive line, the dominant defense, and Christian McCaffrey going off. And so far, when the first game I saw to where the game was really on Kyle Allen to make a play, not saying I was expecting him to go out there and make 50-yard runs, but just connect with his wide receivers with the time he was given, I didn't see much. But now, he was the backup coming in. He's only started 5 or 6 games in the NFL. I want to see how he plays this week coming off a horrible game. Yeah. What's his mindset going to be like? And I could give a more firm answer after this week, because I still want to see how he does with adversity, because so far we've just seen him winning until last week.
And the thing about it is, I don't need to see him deal with adversity. All I need to know is he won't turn the ball over. Like, think about it like this. Tom Brady, as great as he is, was a game manager the first 7 years of his career. Life. I'm not gonna turn the ball over. I'm not gonna mess it up for you. And I'm gonna put the ball in the right weapon's hands. And you know what? We'll win it on defense.
He's got that mental clock.
And that's it.
Tom Brady knows how to get the ball out quick.
Kyle Allen does too.
Yeah.
And that is one thing I've seen with Kyle Allen more than I've seen with Cam Newton, is you're not seeing many sacks.
Right.
Because Kyle Allen does get the ball. Cam Newton tries to make plays with his legs. He tries to run around and throw the ball to a receiver down the field. But Kyle Allen, I mean, yeah, maybe for the first 4 starts of the season he didn't turn the ball over, but he had that fumbling issue, to where Q and Beano's disagreed with me saying that fumbling's not an issue if you're recovering it. I can see where they're coming from. I respectfully disagree. But then last week he threw 3 interceptions? 2 or 3 interceptions. So that's what I mean by
forcing balls down the field.
That's it, but he's due. He's still a rookie, like he's due.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I just want to see him play a little more. Now we've seen Kyle Allen lose. We've only seen him lose once. I want to see how he bounced back from that loss. That will tell me a lot, and that's just my personal thing. I like seeing how players, coaches, and teams bounce back after a loss. Because once I saw that the final score was 51-13, as a Panther fan, what am I going to do? We played like trash. It was bad. On to the next week. We play Tennessee. We have winnable games ahead of us. How are they going to bounce back? So I'm ready to see what Kyle Allen does this week against Tennessee. But you got me thinking. I haven't been on the trade talk with Cam Newton. I don't want Cam Newton to be traded. I want to see him fight one more game at least for the Carolina Panthers before he goes out, because I am not a fan of the way he is going out right now. This injury proves to be even worse than what we've all thought. But I didn't think about the $2 million in dead money. I didn't think about how valuable his trade thing is. But right now, I still don't want to trade Cam Newton, but that's my personal take.
The thing about it is, just remember, Kemba Walker was his most tradable when he almost got you to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I didn't agree. Oh, I don't like the way they did Kemba.
I don't mind at all. A 5'8" guy who can't play defense, get him out of here. Even though he scored a lot of points, get him out of here. I feel the same way about Cam Newton. He's his most tradable now, and nobody has seen the downside yet. So since no one has seen the downside, there'll be a lot of takers.
Les, when I first met you, the two things you told me was if the Charlotte sports teams here want to be successful, they got to get rid of 2 people, and that's Kemba Walker and Cam Newton. I hated to hear that, but that was the first day we met. He told me that, and I was like, you're crazy, man. And, I mean, the more that I have seen this, the more I feel like he's right. The more I feel like he's right. And for people that don't know, Les played defensive tackle at Carolina.
Ooh.
I mean, he tried out for the Panthers. Like, this man knows what he's talking about when he talks about football. So really happy to have him here in studio.
No, I'm happy you came through. I mean, you got me thinking, because I didn't think about the whole, you know, Kemba scored a lot of points, but if you don't play defense, that's really what it comes down to. You need to prevent points more than you score them. And I don't know, this Panthers season has just been, these last 2 seasons for the Carolina Panthers has just been extremely weird. But I don't know. Hopefully the Panthers can come out and bounce back from last week's loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Before we end today's show, let's go over to rookie mistakes.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to start with, I guess we'll go with the Carolina Panthers. I guess I don't really understand why they keep prolonging this whole foot injury. Just tell them, just put them on IR. I'm over hearing about this every week. You talked about it being a distraction. Connor talked about it being a distraction. You guys, you're right. You get asked about it every week. Until Cam's put on IR and his season is shut down, the questions are going to continue to happen. So, Panthers, you didn't put him on IR. Rookie mistake.
Right now, my rookie mistake is myself on my fantasy team. I have been switching out Kevin Golladay and Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin Jones Jr. was on my bench when he had like 4 touchdowns.
Yeah,
so I
he
put
was on
him
mine
in,
too.
And then he had 4 points, and Kevin Golladay had 28 when he was on my bench. So I'm not. But the other receiver I have is DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't know what to do. But rookie mistake with me, I can't manage a team whatsoever.
Speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, right now the Texans are up 9-3 on the Jacksonville Jaguars out there in London.
All right, finish off the rookie mistakes. I'm going to go ahead and say Andre Svechnikov. Last night, getting under the skin of both P.K. Subban and Wayne Simmonds, two of the biggest dudes in the National Hockey League.
Amen.
After that dude got knocked out by Alex Ovechkin last year, I mean, don't get under anybody else's skin. Come on, Svech.
Bunch of jerks.
Well, that'll do it for us right here on the Rookies, a bunch of jerks in Raleigh. That'll do us right here on the Rookies for Connor Sherman, for Bernie Bowles, for Wes Bless, and for Mackie G, myself. Thank you for tuning in. We are Weekend Mornings on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Have a great day and keep pounding.